Lord, we do thank you for Eric and Rosemary, Lord, and their ministry over the years and all their visits to us in times before. And Lord, once again, Lord, we just pray that you will bless them. Lord, anoint them with your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we hear what they're doing, Lord, we'll just be inspired by what you are doing through them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us this morning. It is 3 years and 1 month since we were here last. I don't know where the time has gone, but much of it hasn't been terribly happy, has it? So we hope that we can bring some encouraging news this morning. Just before we begin, may I say that our projector is not quite as new as yours. It doesn't have as many lumens, and it would be very helpful if more of the blinds could be closed and one or two of these lights at the front could be turned off. Is that possible, please? Otherwise, you may be guessing. Yes. And there's a spotlight at the back there, and if that could come off, that would be even better. Wonderful. And those middle blinds are edging across. The further they can come, the better. Fantastic, thank you. And can I see the clock from this distance? Well, just about, because we have to watch it, very carefully this morning. Often, especially after a 3-year gap, there are people in audiences who haven't remembered or haven't known what we do. So let's begin by saying that Rosemary and I lead a little charity based in Clevedon, which is called Helping His Hungarian Heroes, or 4-H for short. And this ought to change it, and it does. There is our mission statement. You will be able to read it much more quickly than me. So let me just say that we seek to help Hungarian believers and churches who live in the Middle Danube Basin of Eastern and Central Europe. The Hungarians are really an overlooked people, and so you're looking really at the biggest specifically Hungarian Christian mission that there is. And it's us and some part-time helpers, and that is about it. This is the map I like because it shows the head of the Adriatic Sea down here. So Italy is just off the map. This is the watershed around the Middle Danube or Carpathian Basin. And 100 years ago, the whole of that area was Hungary. Today, for various reasons, Hungary is considerably smaller, but there are lots of Hungarians still in the western third of Romania, in northern Serbia, across the whole of Slovakia, and interestingly too, in this little chip of land here, just to the southwest of the Carpathian Mountains, which is part of Ukraine. We will be mentioning Ukraine more this morning because it has featured a lot in our thinking and actions in the last year. I just say that Hungary has a relatively short border with Ukraine. We know this border particularly well. And then there is a much longer border between Ukraine and Romania, and that border, yes, does extend sort of all the way across there as well. Been a very sad 9 months so far as we are concerned, and many of the Hungarian speakers who still live in Ukraine, along of course with many displaced Hungarians or Ukrainians too. Prior to 3 years ago and all the things that have happened since then, we made a point of travelling to the Middle Danube Basin something like 5 or 6 times each year, and in 2020 we managed to go once. That was early in the year, and we managed to escape home 4 days before the international borders were closed by COVID. and we were quite happy to be at home rather than without our office, etc., etc., somewhere in Hungary or Romania. And then last year, due to the continuance of the COVID issue, we were just able to go twice. And this year so far, we have been three times, still half the norm, and we have covered quite a lot of Hungary on these occasions, also parts of Western Romania, the Hungarian-speaking region, and then also into northern Serbia. We have been within a mile on a number of occasions of the Ukrainian border, but we were not allowed to go any further because the Foreign Office prevented it. It's been a sad time then, but much has been achieved, I think, for the Kingdom of God. We're trying to weave this morning one or two messages for different members of the congregation into our discussion of what 4-H has been doing, and the first reading that is related to that is from the book of Isaiah, and Rosemary's going to read it now.
So this is Isaiah 43, starting at verse 13. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? And then at verse 19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. But this is what the Lord... Oh, I've written the wrong way round, haven't I? I just realised that.
You've put the end before the beginning.
I'm very good at reversing numbers and letters. I've never reversed the scriptures before. Sorry about that. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no saviour.
And of course, the key words are in the second part of the reading that you heard first. And there they are in verse 19, where the Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. And really the talk this morning is mostly about new things, because in view of the various issues, challenges, problems that we and you have had to face, we have had to do things differently, or perhaps in an entirely new way. So far as 4-H is concerned, in the last 3 years, we have had to do things after Brexit, because Brexit caused us significant problems, and still does. Secondly, after the start of the Ukrainian war, because the war has greatly impacted the Hungarian people, it's next door. And there have been times when we have been in companies of Christian people in Hungary or Romania who have been afraid because of what has been happening and what could happen to them next. COVID, again, of course, has caused us problems. We have had to do new things after COVID. And then at the end, a little thought here about what may happen to people who, after many years, have been serving the Lord, but don't have to do that anymore. So, touching on some of those points, first of all, things that 4-H has had to do because of the war in Ukraine. and we begin on a happier note.
Could you go back one? It's just gone forward again.
Oh. Ah, yes, it shouldn't have done that, should it?
No.
Let's go back. There we go.
Right, so this is Pastor Donny and Lona and their children in Ukraine at Christmas in the church where they have a big Christmas tree. And Donny and Lona have served the Lord really dedicatedly for about, I think it's about 17 years now, is it, in Ukraine, something like that. But on the 25th of February, we had a very disturbing series of phone calls from them as Donny had to stay in Ukraine to look after the church and the church people. But Lona had to flee back into Hungary because at that time it was thought that the Russians would try to overrun the entire Ukrainian country. And so she took Bentsa, Chenga and Jaka to Granny's house. That's what the little girls thought. But of course, Bentsa was old enough to be told that it was because of the war and the danger that there might be. So that day we had really heartbreaking phone calls from Lona as in tears she walked across the border with her children to safety. And she took this photograph, which, Eric, could you take the next one up, please? This was accompanied by a phone call to say, we are safe, we are on the other side. And it's difficult for us to comprehend what a terrible day that was for them. The little girls thought they were going to their granny's home for a nice holiday, but of course Benson knew exactly what was happening.
So that's why the little girls are smiling. But Benson is looking very solemn because he knew what was happening.
And of course, they could only take with them the things that Lona and Bentsa could carry. And this is very typical of the refugees that we met. We have had more than one meeting with various refugees, and they literally had to carry with them everything that they could, and it wasn't very much at all.
10 days later, we caught up with them because we were on travel ourselves in Hungary and northwest Romania. And because of what we heard from them and saw from others, we made some quick decisions as to what 4-H should try to do to help the Ukrainian refugee situation. And what we concluded was that we should establish 5 reception centres, which would help anyone coming from Ukraine, whether they were ethnic Hungarians or not. And what we particularly wanted to do was to ensure that they received a Christian welcome. There were plenty of aid agencies out there and still are, but what we can provide as believers is significantly more than just material aid. So the 5 centres involved 2 churches, one in northwest Hungary, one in northeast Hungary, one in northwest Romania. It included a Christian camp high in the Carpathian Mountains and also a Christian mission in the centre of Hungary itself. It's also interesting just to note that we also established a reception centre inside Ukraine itself, and that is the base where Donny and Lona normally work. And it's been really great to know that in more recent times quite a lot of Ukrainians have been returning to Ukraine, especially into that area protected by the Carpathian Mountains, and are trying to rebuild their lives while the war goes on in the east. The composite picture here is taken from the front cover of our July magazine or newsletter, and there are copies of that on the table if you would like to take them afterwards. There's a lot of information there about the kinds of things that have happened because of those 5 reception centres that we were able to establish. Happily, some things have since improved.
So one of the things that we were able to help support was a week's retreat for Donny and Lona's churches. They have three churches and two church plants in Ukraine itself. But of course, once the war started, a number of the members of the churches, all of them, fled to Hungary and they were split up. And so they asked us for help. They brought them together in one retreat for, I think it was 5 days actually, actually in Hungary itself. And a church in Hungary helped them to do that. And we helped them with the money. They were able to have worship together. They were all thrilled to meet together again. You can imagine if you were all split up and apart for several weeks and didn't know what was going to happen next in your lives, you'd be so pleased to see each other. So they had wonderful Christian fellowship. They had worship. They had a wedding, which was fantastic. That really cheered everybody up.
Oh, despite the umbrella.
Yes. And they also had some baptisms. And for Donnie and Lona, this was really special indeed, because the effect that the war had had on Bentzer was to confirm his faith in Jesus Christ, and he decided to be baptised. So Donnie had the great privilege and joy of baptising his own son.
And so there is good coming from the war in Ukraine, and in our latest prayer letter, which is with the printer at the moment, there's going to be more good news about things that have happened because of the war and that may not have happened had that not taken place. If you don't get our prayer letter regularly, you could do. There's a sign-up sheet on the table at the back, and we'd be glad to send you copies of that as soon as it is ready. So we could say lots more about that, but have to hurry on to talk about some new things which have been necessary because of COVID. It'd be nice to leave it in the past, wouldn't it, and say no more about it. But for various reasons, of course, that isn't possible. This is a map which shows the distribution of the many churches where we, 4-H, have helped, either by way of construction or by way of providing money for the new building or for extensive repairs. And they across much of Hungary itself, Western Romania, Northern Serbia, and some there also in southwestern Ukraine, one in Slovakia. On our last two visits, we have been involved in Roma fellowships in northeastern Hungary. And both of these are places where there are growing Roma or Gypsy fellowships who have got to the point where they really very much need and want and are praying for church premises of their own.
So this is Mesa Ladania. It's the room that they're meeting in is almost in the roof of a little Roma house, and it's no bigger than the area covered by this platform. So they have very close fellowship indeed. In fact, when they're all there, they can't sit down because there's not enough room for the chairs. They also have great poverty. It's quite hard to describe that to you, but it's humbling for us to go and to see how joyful they are despite all their challenges.
And if the community gathered together for worship is too large for the small room, they overflow onto the rather rickety staircase that Rosemary is tiptoeing down rather gingerly.
It is desperately dangerous, that staircase.
There is good news involving the local mayor.
Yes. Now, it's quite amazing. We can't imagine mayors doing this here. But in Eastern Europe, the mayors are very conscious that when a church comes to a village, the crime rate goes down very, very quickly and stays down. So mayors are very well disposed to projects like ours of building churches for Roma. And in this village, the mayor has offered them this site, which is a brilliant site. And not only has he offered this site, which is really accessible to the Roma community, who of course don't have any means of transport, but he's offered to level it and put an area where it meets the road as well, which is fantastic.
2 or 3 weeks ago, we were there again and were able to participate in one of their worship services. I guess I have to comment that it was 3 hours long, as was the Roma meeting that we went to in another place that afternoon. And English people often sort of raise their eyebrows and say things like, well, how on earth can a service last 3 hours? And I think the only thing that I can say to that is, well, if you are engaged and enjoying what you're doing, 3 hours even isn't too long. And you can be sure that the believers there really do get engaged in what they're doing. They enjoy it. And that 3 hours doesn't seem a moment too long. This church in Mizo-Ladan is within a mile of the Ukrainian border. And happily, at this point in time, unlike earlier in the year, there is much less fear in the community, because earlier in the year it was thought that Russia would quickly occupy the whole of Ukraine and perhaps even come further into Romania itself. That fear has largely gone, but of course there is still deprivation in that area because of what is going on elsewhere.
In the second village that we went to, we also had a three-hour service. In fact, it would have gone on longer if it had been allowed to. But in the end, we had to say, look, we've got to go because we had a way to get back. This is a lovely Roma community, again, very desperately poor. A few years ago, pre-COVID, a local builder offered to build them a church. And they had a plot that the mayor had allocated to them, and he drew up plans, and he was prepared to finance most of it. So that would have been a great possibility for them. But then COVID came, and sadly the builder caught COVID and died, and the family took over whatever money was left. So they were really let down and still have no building 3 years later. They meet in a Roma home, and again, the room was absolutely packed. People were sitting on one another's laps. They were standing in the doorway, and they were in the rooms at the side as well, standing and looking in. And you won't believe this, I know, but the children stayed in for the whole 3 hours, and they behaved themselves, which for Roma children is astonishing.
So what's the problem? 4-H is keen and willing to help construct churches in both of those places. In these places, we think that the construction method that we will use will be of prefabricated units. Call it container churches, if you like. And half a dozen of those units, half a dozen of those containers, put together very, very quickly, can provide really excellent facilities and appropriate ones today because, of course, the cost of heating has gone up a lot. It gets very cold there in winter. The ceiling height of these container churches is approximately the same as yours here, whereas the traditional design that had been drawn up earlier for Hoodoo Hot House involved a triangular roof space, which really costs a lot to heat. This is a much more convenient kind of design. The problem, though, is this. Because building costs, building material costs, the cost of labour, have all gone up markedly this year, the cost of providing churches in those two places is now 3 times higher than it would have been just 1 year ago. And that causes problems for us. We don't have limitless funds. Can we provide one? Can we afford two? Almost certainly not two at the same time. We hope that we will be able to help in one of those places, especially Hoodoo Hot House, where really their hopes were so sadly dashed because of COVID 3 years ago. Because of COVID, many things didn't happen as they had before. Many of these are now recommencing, and we're going to just tell you quickly about two of these events that we were involved in on our last trip last month. And the first of those was a ladies' conference in Western Romania.
And this is for ladies who are either single, divorced, or widowed. So ladies entirely on their own. Ladies in this part of the world very often do not drive, certainly don't have cars because they don't have the money, and are not used to doing things on their own. Many of them, the older ones, would never have had a job. So you can imagine that they don't go anywhere. They just stay in their homes, their home villages or their hometowns. So this takes them out into the most beautiful foothills of the mountains. As you can see, stunning. Mixed goats and sheep just wander across the road whenever they want to. We met in a pine lodge cabin. It smelt like a sauna. It was absolutely beautiful, surrounded by fields and trees and hills, lots of horses and lots of birds. It was really beautiful. So for them, it was an amazing opportunity to have 2 days in a completely different environment. And there they worshipped together, sang songs together, prayed together, and listened to a couple of presentations. Mine was talking about peace in our hearts. And I started from the viewpoint that if what Jesus said was true, why don't I experience peace in my heart all the time? And I started looking at this, and I realized that when Jesus was born, the great proclamation was that he'd come to bring peace upon earth. And when Jesus knew that he was about to die, he kept saying, "Peace I give to you. I want you to have my peace. That's what I've come. This is my gift to you. Not like the world gives. This is a gift for you." And so we looked at that together, and I looked first of all at what Jesus actually said, and I looked at the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know if you can sort of run that through in your head. What's the one thing in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus tells us to do? There's a clue on the screen, actually. It is to forgive. We cannot have a close relationship with Jesus Christ or God our Father or even the Holy Spirit while we are unforgiving towards other people. And many of these ladies have good reasons to find it hard to forgive. So that was the starting point. And then we talked about having to pursue peace, having to actively incorporate things into our lives that will help us with that peace. And finally, these unloving attitudes, unforgiveness being the first and foremost, but any attitude which is not an attitude of love will form a barrier between us and the God of love. And so after that, we had a time of prayer. And lots of the ladies came and talked afterwards as well.
So there's the fine group of ladies who attended the conference. And although I wasn't really involved, being a mere man, I did find that some of the ladies came up and spoke to me and asked me questions about, my relationship with Rosemary, because Rosemary, as some of you will remember, is my second blessing, and my first wife died of a brain tumour some 20 years ago. So Rosemary and I have been together for 19, and the lady there circled in the centre, she wanted to know how certain we were that this new marriage was of the Lord. And we explored a number of those issues. Just earlier in Hungary, we had been talking to a Hungarian pastor who talked about ladies who had become single, in the way in which I had become single, if you like, because Rosemary was called home, are in a way liberated from their recent lifetime. And it gives them opportunities to do things that they had not been doing very recently. And so we talked a little bit about that too. I think she would love to think that at some point she can meet someone else whom she can spend the rest of her life with. But I summed up by saying, well, you have two eyes. You can use one of those to look for someone with whom you might spend the rest of your life together. I use the other eye, looking for new opportunities how to serve God. Now you are single or alone again. And another lady here is representative of the several who spoke to Rosemary about various issues that were foremost in their minds and which her talk really had touched upon. If that was a ladies' conference in Romania, I was involved rather similarly in a men's conference in Hungary of a type that had not really been possible previously for some time because of COVID. And there were, again, a great body of men meeting together in this conference centre, which was by Lake Balaton. Lake Balaton is the Hungarian seaside. It's the biggest lake in Central Europe. Hungary, of course, doesn't have a coastline, but it does have a big lake. And at some times of the year, most of the population of the country seems to be there. This was after that vacation peak. This, of course, was in September. Lots of men, though, attending. And I was asked, really, to talk about men after family schisms. There are lots of men who are affected by family breakups. We would all hope, as Christian parents, of course, that our children would remain close to us in more senses than one throughout their lives and ours. But all too often, in their teens and their 20s, young people tend to veer off into some other direction. And there are lots of issues that men have to face in their lives as a result of that. That certainly happened to me in my family. As I stand here this morning, I remember my two children, my first wife, being here with me, with us here in Hebron. In fact, I do remember when Andrew was about half his height in that picture, I'd asked him to play one of the tunes on his clarinet during the service. And at one point, I found a little message was coming to me in rather scribbled writing. And it really said, this is awfully, well, it was dogey. But I knew that what he meant was dodgy. So I was being told that what I would like him to play was not something that he really felt confident about. And he couldn't do that in the way that I would like him to. And that was here. In Hebron. Of course, during their teens, both my son and my daughter decided that they wanted something completely different from the kind of life that we had been living together. And sadly, some of the repercussions of those splits really carry through to the present time. Lots of men, I think, find that things like that happen in their families too. And so I asked, well, is there any encouragement for those involved in such situations? And I said, yes, there can be with time, as in my circumstances. So some things have improved immeasurably. There are still some issues to be resolved. But with time, yes, things can improve because we are all in the arms of the Heavenly Father. In the meantime, I said, well, there are a number of don'ts and do's that you might consider. And here are some of the don'ts. I've listed these actually on a sheet which is on the table at the back. So if you're interested in that, please do take a copy afterwards. But amongst the don'ts, I suggested that first of all, they shouldn't blame themselves too much for what had happened in their families. And we elaborated on that a little. Secondly, I said, well, don't blame your children too much either, because almost certainly they were under pressures of kinds that you couldn't even really imagine. Don't, I said, don't blame God for those negative things that had happened, but blame Satan. He's the deceiver. God is a God of love and peace. Don't, I said, be quick to blame other parents who come to face similar problems too. they're really upset about it. If you don't understand that, that can make matters worse rather than better. And then finally, just don't give up praying, knowing that God hears all of our prayers. More positively, there were a number of do's that I suggested. Do be consistent. If your children have moved away because they don't like the way in which you lived, don't change the way in which you have been living. That will only confuse them even more. Be consistent. Do be available to them should they want to contact you, despite perhaps having done things that you might consider are really quite awful. Do be thankful to God because he knows all about every situation, and doubtless there are lots of positive things for which we can thank God anyway. He loves us and our children too. And finally, do be supportive of anyone else who has problems that we would never want ourselves. It was a great meeting, and I shall never forget the occasion at the end when in the final worship session all 100 or so men linked arms, stood around in a great circle to praise God. The circle continues all the way across there too, and there were a number of commitments to the Lord, recommitments to him too, at the end of that time together. Finally, a word or two about things that may have to be new after many years of serving the Lord. In this picture, and Rosemary will have her go again in a moment, in this picture you can see me, a younger me there, second from the left, and on the right hand side, a very good friend of ours today, a scientist who led a laboratory in the Hungarian Academy of Sciences in Budapest, and also, interestingly, spent some time at the Long Ashton Agricultural Research Stations, if you can remember when that was open. This was an occasion when I was asked to go and speak to some of the scientists in his group. More recently, though, things have changed a little.
Sadly, Gazer has Parkinson's disease, and he's been for the last, I don't know how many years, a wonderful pastor, mentor of other pastors, leader of the Evangelical Alliance equivalent in Hungary. He's been leading seminars and conferences and encouraging the whole of the Christian men in particular there. And now he has good days and he has bad days. It's affecting his voice. It's affecting every part of his body. And sometimes all he can do is lie on the floor in agony because he can't move any part of his body. He's having treatment, he's having medication, and that does help. But what is absolutely amazing is that God is enabling him to do things that it looks impossible for him to do. And so when he really has to be up at the front, giving the word, preaching or whatever, somehow the Lord enables that. And Ildiko, his wife, told me a little while ago, they were at a conference, a Roma conference, and they'd been serving the Lord for 2 days, and he gets tired terribly easily. And on the Sunday morning, he was exhausted, and when he sat to speak, because he couldn't stand up, and his voice got softer and softer, and his speech more and more incoherent. And she was praying so hard because she said, Lord, just stop him. This is awful. Nobody can hear or understand what he's saying. But he persisted to the end of his talk. And 3 Roma young men were saved. And we think that's fantastic because it just shows it doesn't matter how ill we are or how incompetent or how tired or anything else, how disabled, God can still use every single one of us and use the gifts that he's given us to help his children.
This was an occasion last month when we were involved with leaders of the church in Budapest, along with Gezer, considering the possibility of providing new church buildings at Mezőlőtáron and Hajdú Hothouse, which we talked about earlier. Please pray for them that there will be progress in those two situations. And this is an occasion again where Geza is involved in the ordination of a young Roma couple who have come into the ministry to serve their own people. He's very active still, but the time, of course, will come when that is not either possible or necessary anymore. Rosemary is going to conclude by reading these verses from the book of Revelation.
And I will read them in the right order this time. So this is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Amen.
The final slide just links together a verse from Isaiah 45 with that passage from the book of Revelation. Isaiah 45:21 speaks of my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And then the book of Revelation says that, well, when we're in his presence, in his realm forever, we, his people, will gladly worship, yes, but also serve him forever. And I think that's a tremendous thought, that if we are, or when we are unable to serve or continue to serve him, the Lord here, he will be preparing a place for us where we will be able to serve him and worship him forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.